If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 15. We're continuing our series in the book of Acts. Back in the month of May, we had the privilege of sharing a theme on signs and wonders, yet it led to persecution of the early church. How many of us know that whenever we serve God, we could always expect conflict, we could expect opposition? A lot of people we're going to look at tonight would always find something to major in and to present as often a hindrance to what God was doing in a powerful way in Antioch. When we spoke there in the book of Acts chapter 5, we spoke about God's power worked through the apostles, and we've been hearing that time and time again. Stephen spoke last week of how it caused Paul to actually be stoned in the city of Lystra and left for dead, and then he went out of the city, but he came back, and the work continues. How many are glad that God's work may be opposed, but it can never be overthrown? And I've been sharing with my class over the years, and I'm reminded so often, even now, when we have so much happening in our world, and especially tonight, when we come to the whole question of how the Gentile believers should be received into the body of Christ, and that it's by grace through faith alone. But we have so much happening in our world today, don't we? So many things that can get us off course or demotivate us or discourage us. And you watch the news late at night, you might have a hard time falling asleep. And I've shared what I learned from Dawson Trotman, who was the founder of the Navigators many years ago. Dawson Trotman gave the letters H-Y, his word, the last word, four letters. His word, before you go to bed at night, make his word the last word. And God's word tonight in Acts 15 is the last word on what it really means to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many know that conflict is inevitable? You know, we deal with people sometimes with a Pharisaical attitude. A lot of people in your family and mine can be very judgmental or critical. They might view and I oftentimes of being naive and out of touch. We're not sophisticated enough for them. Anybody ever hear that from a family member? You need to get with it. Well, I'd rather be naive and right than sophisticated and wrong. And I have a few people in my family that I'm praying for that they would see the light, I'm sure, as you have as well. But Acts chapter 2, just the background, it says in Acts chapter 2, 21, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone, Jew, Gentile, Greek, slave, whatever a person may be in the New Testament setting, here in the greater Springfield area, how many are glad that God's no respecter of persons? And the whole danger of tonight's lesson from the Pharisees and the Jews demanding that the Gentiles undergo circumcision to truly be a part of the family of God, when in reality, that act would only make another Jewish sect. They would become Jews just to appease the tradition of the Jewish people. Many other nations, many other people went through the rite of circumcision. Some did, some didn't. It was a sign of the covenant. I'm not minimizing what it meant to the Jews, but how many are glad that we still stand on the truth of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? Basic New Testament theology, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 reminds us tonight and for all time that it's through grace that we're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So nothing we could do could earn God's favor. And I'm thankful tonight that we could see how God could work in situations. You know, I've learned in over the years, and I would not consider myself often as a person that loves conflict or confrontation. Some people might be better at it than me. But Paul and Peter and James were not afraid to speak the truth in love. And as we go through this lesson in a few minutes tonight, I want us to be asking God to help us at the end of the service to perhaps ask God for a fresh anointing of his Spirit that we might care enough to confront when we have to confront someone. But may we speak the truth in love. May we allow our lives to be a vessel that God could use in a powerful and mighty way. Throughout the book of Acts, we've seen how the Gentiles were touched by the Spirit of God. At the house of Cornelius, when Peter came and shared with them, they found Christ as their Savior. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. But we come to Acts chapter 15, where we left off in chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas return to Antioch. And here's the setting. Acts chapter 15, let's look at verses 1 to 11. Acts 15, 1 to 11. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of all the Gentiles. That's important. And brought joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, and here's the addition to salvation full and free in Christ. It is necessary to circumcise them in order them to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. This was no small thing. This caused a great debate. This was a pivotal moment. This could have upset the church at Antioch for a long, long time. And isn't it just like the enemy? When things are moving freely and God's moving by his Spirit, the enemy will always try to oppose. You take a step of obedience. How many of you have learned? Every step of obedience that you've taken with God has often been challenged by the enemy. To believe God is costly. And we're going to learn that tonight, that discipleship and grace go hand in hand. It's not just enough. It's not, as Bonhoeffer said, it's not cheap grace or something, just an easy believism and receiving it all. But there's a cost to following Christ. And we recognize tonight that Paul, Barnabas, Peter, James, God used these spiritually mature men to speak at a pivotal moment in the lives of the people at Antioch. The apostles and elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, you know, the Pharisees were the type of people that would might say to themselves or others, you know, I'm a very agreeable person. Ever met some people that say that? I'm an agreeable person. I agree with people who agree with me. You know, I'm agreeable as long as you agree with me. They'd be the type of person, and you and I meet them every day, where if your opinion is needed, it will be given to you. And we find in this book tonight, in chapter 15, the debate was definitely engaging with people at two different points of understanding. But you know what's the reality is, the curse of tradition can be inflexibility. We've always done it this way. To assume or to put that weight, we're going to see in a minute, Peter would say, you don't want to impose a weight or an extra burden. What's required of the Gentiles to do what we did, to receive the good news of the message, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to walk in the ways of God? There were things that needed to be let go, I'm sure, in the Gentile believers' lives. But the bottom line was, it was by faith, through the grace of God. And Peter stands up. I love Peter's life because it wasn't always straight lines, and neither was yours. There was a time when Peter should have been praying and he was sleeping. There was a time when Peter should have been testifying around a fire and he was swearing and denying that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ to a young girl. But on the day of Pentecost, rather than sleeping or swearing or denying Christ, I love what it says in the book of Acts. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and proclaimed the message of new life in Christ, and 3,000 souls came into the kingdom of God. Peter goes on to say, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them," verse 8, "by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us." And hear me. "And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith." Just a couple of highlights. Three observations that ease the tension there in Antioch: the testimony of God's power, applying scripture to the situation. God moved in these people's lives. God did the same thing in them that he did for us. How many are glad that we should be a people rejoicing that we're part of a church made up of many different types of people? Praise God. That's always been a hallmark of Bethany, and may it ever continue, that from every tribe and nation and tongue, and we should avoid in any way of an attitude of ethnocentricity, or the only people that we really like are people like us. That's the easy thing to do, isn't it? A lot of us grew up with that mentality back in high school with our in-group and liking people who walked the way we walked and talked and acted and dressed and did what we would want to do or we'd want them to do. But not only was it the testimony of God's power, it was the scripture applied to the situation there among the Gentiles, but it was also the pouring out of God's Spirit. How many are glad tonight? The same God that knew the heart of the Gentiles knew your heart and knows your heart tonight. There's times in each of your life that it doesn't matter what other people might say about you. They might diminish you. They might discount you. But the bottom line is it only really matters what God knows. And he looks upon the heart. And he knows the thoughts and intent of a person's heart. And Peter, the thing I appreciate about Paul and Barnabas in this chapter, and Peter and James, is they spoke the truth of God with love. They allowed God's love to keep them calm in a situation that could easily have gotten out of hand. I think this chapter teaches me time and time again, as I read it over this past week, that you can resolve conflict the right way. There's a right way to resolve conflict. And we're going to pray around the altar later on in a few minutes. And maybe especially you need to find a place of prayer, because there's a conflict in a relationship that you need to address. You need to see resolved. You need to see God bring a breakthrough in that situation that only he can do. Praise God. So he says, Peter says, "Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test," verse 10, "and placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples, that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" Meaning no one can keep all of these guidelines and rules, and the law of Moses was given as a schoolmaster or as a guardian to prepare and bring people to freedom in Christ. If you want to see a greater understanding of what Paul and these men dealt with at Antioch, Paul had to write a whole letter to the church at Galatia addressing this whole issue throughout the book of Galatians. So why are you placing a yoke on their neck? And here's the key verse, verse 11. "But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus just as they will. What was required of the Gentile believers? To be saved through grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And then we move to chapter 15, verses 12 to 21, and says this, "And all of the assembly fell silent." That's quite a moment. Debating, shouting, my opinion, my way, my rights, I want what I want. This is what we demand the Gentiles to undergo. All the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related. Once again, we see this throughout the book of Acts. Paul and Barnabas related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. Praise God. And for all of us tonight, God's work throughout the book of Acts, in our lives here in August of 2022, God's work is always unique. He often works in unusual ways, but when he does, his work is unmistakable. Let me say it again. It might be a unique thing that God does, often does. It might be unusual to us. Why did he do it that way? But let's be thanking God tonight that when God works, it is unmistakable. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for all that he has done. How many are glad tonight for what God has done in your life? He set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Paul and Barnabas said, this is God's doing. He moved with signs and wonders. And as he finished speaking, James replied, brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agreed, just as it is written. And this I will return. I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins. I will restore it, verse 17, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from old. Quoting the prophet Amos, that's pointing to the last days when God would restore the nation of Israel and the Messiah would reign and rule. But in the meantime, God is working through not only Jews, but Gentiles. I'm so thankful that God is no respecter of persons. And from every tribe and nation, every tongue, we at the foot of the cross, how many are glad? The ground is always level. There's no A deck or B deck. There's no first or second class citizens. We're all sinners saved by grace. Paul says in Galatians 3:28 that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female. We are in him and one in him. What Paul is saying here and in Galatians is that the middle wall, a partition between them, has been demolished by the work of Christ. I'm thankful that Paul and Barnabas and Peter and James didn't just stand by idly and let this teaching by fervent people that came down to Antioch stand and continue to cause confusion. You know, there's times, you know, people can be sincere, but they can be sincerely wrong. And sometimes people do need to be confronted. And that's exactly what this chapter helps us to see. Verse 19, Acts 15. Therefore, my judgment is this. This is his application, James is saying that we should not trouble those Gentiles who turn to God about this matter of circumcision. However, we should write to them to abstain from the things that are polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood, and from ancient generations. Moses had in every city those who proclaimed him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. So there were guidelines that were given. It wasn't just a matter that the Gentiles would be welcome into the family of God, but the Jews knew their background. And let's be honest, before Christ, our lives were a lot different than they are now. And they turned from idols, the Thessalonians, to serve the living God. Acts chapter 15 is encouraging the Gentiles to turn from idols. You say, well, Ken, we don't have idols today. We don't worship Baal or have a temple in our backyard to a cult. But Tim Keller talks about the danger of motivational idols, of power, of greed, of money, of control, of prestige, and many others that can get in the way of what God wants to do and say into our lives. But I'm thankful that Paul didn't stand idly by, but he was allowed to tell these people that coming to Christ, it's not just grace, but it's also a daily walk, isn't it? So let's go to chapter 15. And the last part of the chapter is beginning at verse 22, where it says this. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose from men among them and send them to Antioch. So now Paul and Barnabas had gone to Antioch. They heard of the problem. They went to Jerusalem. They bring back a letter of what they are saying needs to be addressed. And they're going to return to Antioch with other believers. So they sent Judas, called Barsabbas, Silas leading among men, the brothers with following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and elders to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Greetings. So they're sending this letter back from the Jerusalem council with these mature, spirit-filled men back to Antioch and giving this greeting. Since we have heard of some persons who have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds. That's why, let me just say again, let's allow his word to be the last word. That's what this chapter is teaching. Don't add anything but what God requires of any individual. Yes, whosoever will may come. By grace you're saved through faith, not of works, nothing we could do. It's not a matter of being good or better than anyone else. The key is being forgiven through the grace of God. But these people troubled you with unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instruction. We didn't tell them to do this. It has seemed good to us, having come to one accord. I thank God that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Let me say it again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. And God's word and God's Spirit will never lead you contrary to the word of God. You always allow the word of God and the Spirit of God working here in Acts 15 is a good example of just that. It's an example of the Spirit and the word always agree. And it goes on to say, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men to send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same thing by the word of mouth. Here's a key. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. It wasn't by popular vote. It wasn't by any coercion, but it was by the Spirit of God leading them to allow freedom in Christ, new life in Christ. They cared enough to confront these people that came down to cause division. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what was sacrificed, idols, from blood, sexual immorality, which was rampant in the Gentile world, and keep yourselves from these things. You will do well. Farewell. So when they sent when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, I love this, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. We hear so much bad news, so much discouraging news. I'm thankful tonight that the gospel that sets people free continually can bring good news of freedom in Christ. They gave a brief account of the conflict in Antioch. They shared a call to holiness and turning from idols and sexual immorality and not violating someone else's conscience for the sake of the gospel. I'm reflected on what Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, when he said the call needs to be to recover the true understanding of the mutual relation between grace and discipleship. There's a great relationship between the Gentiles and all of us here in 2022. Thank God that we received God's grace. Amen? But along with receiving that grace, it's related so intricately to daily discipleship. How I walk, what my words are, what my priorities are, what I turn from, what I focus in on, what I major in my life. I allow God to help me to ask day by day, what really matters? Too many people major in minors, don't they? They get hooked up on so many different things that really don't matter. Verse 30. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation, they delivered the letter. When they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. Rather than, unlike the others who caused division, they strengthen and encourage people. How many are glad that God sends people into our lives? I want to be that type of person, don't you? That can come into a person's life to strengthen them, to build them up, to point them to knowing God's grace and God's power in an even more powerful way. That's what these two men did. They strengthened them with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But I love this. Verse 35 in closing. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch. See, this could have split the church. This was a pivotal moment. But Paul and Barnabas cared enough to confront error of demanding something that wasn't necessary. But they remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back, Shana. Others come. And I'm going to invite us as they come. I want to spend some time around an altar tonight, don't you? So let's stand in his presence. Let's praise him tonight as we come. Step out even now. Let's spend some time praising God for his grace and mercy. Let's pursue God's will. Maybe as you come, you need to care enough to confront someone. Or maybe you need to be confronted yourself. I can't do it. But God wants to confront you for a few moments with something in your life that might be hindering discipleship and growing spiritually in a deeper way. You want to maybe learn afresh to care enough to confront someone else. But may my tone, may your tone ever be in love. So Shana leads us. The altar's open. Bethany, come. We have plenty of time. We purposely leave time at the end of every service to seek the Lord, to allow the reality of tonight's word that in Christ any barrier can be broken. Praise God. Let's find a place of prayer. Let's thank him for his grace. Let's ask him to help us to grow in discipleship. We received his grace, but I want to move forward. I want to move deeper. I want to be obedient. Maybe you need to be confronted with some things you need to let go. Maybe it's a motivational idol. Maybe it's an attitude. Whatever it may be, find a place of prayer and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Praise God.